New movies, new music, and new lead singers. This is a new movies and music edition of The Morning Feed. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Chris Mezick.
There are enemies coming from far away. I need warriors. I'm building an alliance to defend ourselves.
You should get out.
Can you at least point me to Atlantis?
Ben Affleck there.
The crowd goes mild.
As Jason Momoa as Aquaman. That was, of course, Justice League, which comes out this week. The DC Comics, Warner Brothers take on the comic adaptation, I guess. Mm-hmm. I have seen it. I will have my full review on Rivet. Until then,
I have zero interest in this movie because DC has burned us now with their last two movies.
Okay, I have seen this and I'm struggling with it because I know my view on it, right? And I have seen a lot of reviews from people that I actually like would respect their opinion on, and maybe I'm missing something, but I did not have the same feelings of like for this movie that other people had. You know, it wasn't. I'm just a little surprised. Usually, it really is one of those. It sucks or it's great. Or it's meh, but this is like this. Some people who are like, you know, it's great, but you know, it's got some issues, or it sucked, but this part was great. It's a very weird, I think, reaction to this movie.
Some of the reviews I read almost sounded like they were like, we're not going to be mean to DC this one. It was weird.
I'm struggling with that
because
myself.
It's like the review itself was negative, but they went out of their way to still call it good, which is like a bizarre review to me.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's the best way that I would describe it, is saying that people. Like do they feel sorry? Is there pity, DC pity going on?
It's like, look, clearly Marvel is winning this whole superheroes and movie theaters thing. Like DC, at least they're trying.
A bummer because it's not like these are just made up new characters. This is Batman. This is Wonder Woman,
Legendary.
Aquaman, Flash. Yeah. I mean, these are some of the biggest comic book characters of all time. And we can't get a halfway decent movie out of this group. So, all right. Anyway, you have an idea what I think, what I thought about it, but I will have my full review on Rivet later today or tomorrow. Also out this week, we have Wonder. You've probably seen the the commercials that tug at your heartstrings, starring Jacob Tremblay, Owen Wilson, Julia Roberts. It's the boy with the facial disfiguration, and it's he's being sent to public school, and you know it's how he impacts those people and. Oh. Vice versa and that type of thing.
Isn't that already a movie in the 70s with Eric Stoltz?
I was going to say, I think this is like the new Mask, but, you know, without the Bob Seger tunes, but I don't know.
Well, I guess I'm not going to see it now that I know Bob Seger isn't in the soundtrack.
Right. Apparently, Bob Seger tunes were used because he couldn't get the rights to Bruce Springsteen tunes. So.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, that was the gist. in theaters, animated The Star, starring Steven Yeun, Keegan-Michael Key, A.D. Bryant, Gina Rodriguez. I read nothing about it, so I have no idea what that is about, but it is some animated movie. And a movie that I wish I could have gotten around to seeing this week, but I definitely want to see, is Roman J. Israel, Esquire, starring Denzel Washington, Colin Farrell, Carmen Ejogo, and Linda Gravitz. So
I hope that's good because Denzel looks like he's going to be awesome in that.
How weird that there's a Denzel Washington movie coming out and it's kind of on the back burner, kind of a little lower on the tier.
It totally has more of like an independent movie feel.
Yeah,
maybe
I wonder
that's
what
why.
The deal is with it. But I definitely want to check it out. Actually, Ron Brown will have review of the movie Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri, I believe.
Oscar buzz around that one.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week, and we were pretty excited for it, and it sounds like our Ron Brown also was had a good time checking it out.
Cool.
All right, new music.
And I recommend that you stop watching the news, because the news contrives to
You know, that's some good advice from Morrissey there.
I know. You know? As much as it pains me to admit it, good advice from Morrissey. His 11th studio album is called Low in High School. For a dude in his 50s, he's really still thinking about high school.
Really?
I guess. Sure.
Those jocks, man, they left a bad impression on him. He's not happy. He just wants to beat the jocks up, man.
Were you ever a Morrissey or Smiths fan?
You know, I like a few of the songs, but no, I was not really.
They'll earworm their way into my mind, but.
I saw Morrissey once and in concert, and it was a great show. He was super cool, but, you know, at the same time, he just kind of left. I think he played for an hour 15. It's like, well, that was, you know, $65 well spent there to go see Morrissey for an hour and 15, you know.
And most of his music, after you're done listening to it, is like,
I don't know, right? Like, God, you are so miserable, man.
let's see, what else do we have?
This is his 11th solo studio album, too. That's a big deal.
Let's see. We got a release from a legitimate legend, the fabulous Mavis Staples, and her new record, If All I Was Black.
Hmm.
Interesting title.
Yeah.
We also have a posthumous release from Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Soul of a Woman.
I love Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Yeah, that is just
some of the coolest.
Like, that is like ultimate night music.
You know, for sure.
Just the best. And this is cool, our ongoing coverage of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard's release schedule for this year. So
that's right.
Beginning of the year, I'll recap this real quick. Beginning of the year, they made it a goal to put out 5 records this year, fully fledged, no BS EPs, but each record with a clear, distinct creative direction. This is the 4th one.
Wow.
So they're right on schedule.
they're cutting it very close,
but this one is called Polygon Dwandaland.
Of course it is.
And this is insane, though. So this just happened, I think, Wednesday. They said, by the way, our new album comes out Friday. And there's a catch. It's completely free. And I don't just mean like you and I can go and download it for free, which you totally could, but they're encouraging people, hey, if you do want to put it out on a physical format, do it. Now's your chance. Start a record label. We don't care. The music is yours now. Do with it whatever you want. And so I know there's already a crowdfunding campaign to get like a definitive vinyl press out there. I think a couple of record labels have just gone ahead and submitted their orders to pressing plants. So it's very likely that in a few weeks you're going to see like hundreds of different versions of this one record. And that's really freaking cool. Also, this band just never stops working. They're from Australia, but somehow they tour the world almost every year, it seems.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, an incredible amount of work. Really, really legitimately good stuff, too. I highly recommend this band to anybody. Let's see. But we do have some bummer news coming out of the music world this year. It's the death of the Vans Warped Tour.
How about it?
Yeah, formed in 1995. Billboard got the exclusive, so I'll just read what they wrote here because they sum it up in a really great way. Next year, the Vans Warped Tour will ride into the sunset for a final summer's worth of North American dates, according to producer Kevin Lyman, who founded the fest in 1995. Think about that. The fest has outlasted some of the bands that have played on it.
Right.
I'm going to say
most of the bands from 1995 have played on it, right?
So he says numerous factors contributed to the end of the festival, including an evolving summer festival industry, a shrinking pool of bands, and declining ticket sales amongst its teenage demographic. So this will be the 24th and last year of the fest.
It's too bad. It's too bad because, you know, you hate to see stuff like that go. I mean, maybe it's time, but...
But the idea of a touring festival very much feels like a 90s invention. You know what I mean? Because it's...
Your Lollapaloozas, your Lilith Fairs, your...
Yeah.
What were a few more of those? Ozfest. Yeah.
What's the one that I've gone to all the time? but he's right. You know, it's exactly that. It's that it's the evolving summer festival industry. It seems like a lot of these big entertainment companies have chosen specific cities. It seems like every state has its own big festival. And the idea is the destination, the journey to the festival, and really taking advantage of like the 3 or 4 days that you're there.
Yeah.
Which... that makes a lot of sense, you know?
It's a blueprint put forth by Lollapalooza, and it really seems to be working. Yeah. And
go somewhere. Don't wait for it to come to you. What's this?
Quickly, I just wanted to get this into our music news here. This is Stone Temple Pilots. This was on the Eddie Trunk show the other day. He got the brand new debut of the band with their new lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
This is them doing Down off of number four, I think. Number four. His name is Jeff Gutt. G-U-T-T, I believe is how his last name is spelled.
Do we know him from anywhere?
He was a contestant on The X Factor.
Oh, okay. I guess that show does all the work a band would need to do auditioning people for you. So, like, and it's the thing about STP too is like I know Scott Weiland was like the recognizable figure, but I think the band has always been the two brothers, right?
Yeah.
They write all the music anyway, so it's their band. So kind of like an Alice in Chains situation where the actual band leader seems to be taking over and like moving the band forward, it seems.
You know, but will it be successful? Look what we saw with INXS. He wrote some of the songs, but those Ferris brothers wrote most of the songs.
Right.
And but you know, when you got a Michael Hutchence as your lead singer, when you got Scott Weiland as your lead singer, it is
kind of
tough
like
to overcome
lifetime.
That, you know.
Yeah,
you're right. It's once in a lifetime
and,
thing.
The weird connection, am I remembering this right? Did Chester Bennington, the late Linkin Park singer, actually fill in for some STP shows when Scott Weiland was...
I think they did an album. He was actually hired.
Entire album.
I think he was actually hired as their lead singer.
Wow, man, that band has been through some stuff.
Yeah, they have, yeah. All right, let's call it a day. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Thanks a lot for listening. As always, we really do appreciate it. And you can hear more of The Morning Feed and our new music and movies Thursdays by subscribing to us and reviewing us on our podcast channels, Google Play Music, iTunes, and Stitcher, and also on Facebook. Thanks a lot again. This has been a Thursday edition of the new movies and music. Yes.
Morning Feed.
I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Chris Messick.